We bless the holy name. And we do look forward, Lord, see your return.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for our precious Lord and our Savior.
Yes.
Your only begotten Son, the very one in the bosom of your precious soul of life, given to us, reach out to us to bring us back to you.
Amen.
That we become a part of the family, your family, the family of God. We thank you, Father. We can never thank you enough, and we can never praise you enough, we can never glorify you enough.
Amen.
Nevertheless, in our life, O Father, we should always glorify you.
Amen.
Always fear you and reverend you, Father, because thou art the Creator.
Amen.
Thou art the Almighty. Someone to worship. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us this revelation, opening our hearts and our spirit, O Lord, to the understanding of who you are, to the knowledge of our living God, the Father of life. We thank you, Father, Lord. We bless your holy name this morning.
Yes.
We thank you for the peace, O Lord, that you give us, because we know that our sins is taken away, forgiven, dumped into the sea of forgetfulness. We know, Lord, you will not bring it up. And what you have told us by thy word that we should walk in the light. And Lord, to be obedient to thy word, Father, and be watchful, Lord, lest we fall into temptation and sin against thee. We thank you, Lord, for that precious word, the land, the pathway of life, Lord, that you have granted us to walk in. And now while we are walking, Father, toward that holy city, New Jerusalem, we bless thy name. In all things, O Lord, we praise you, Father. We thank you, O Lord. And this morning, right now, Lord, as you approach thy word once again, we ask for your presence, asking, O Lord, once again, Lord, you enlighten our hearts. Lord. Put our finger into our ear, Lord, to understand.
Amen.
And the mouth to speak, Father.
Yes.
We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. We are going to... We have some visual also. But let us quickly recap. Let us go to the book of Revelation, again, chapter 16. And just quickly recap a little bit of what we have last week, so that we can move on to the next few verses in Revelation chapter 16. Now in chapter 16, verse 13 and 14, we want to just quickly touch on this again. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. For there are spirits of devils working miracles, which goes forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of the great of God Almighty. And here we have, as you say, there are three unclean frogs that came out, or that come out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And we ask this question: who? What is the dragon, what is the beast, and what is the false prophet? And you know, we already studied that the dragon is none other than fallen Lucifer, who became the adversary of God. Amen? He is the father of lies. Okay, so, and what is the beast? And we understand from Scripture, when we place it properly, we realize that the beast, none other, here spoken of, is the first beast of Revelation chapter 13. Alright? It's the first beast that came out of the sea. And that first beast which has seven heads. Right? And had ten horns. Okay? And now we ask, what is the false prophet? So now this is where we have probably a bit of looking, of trying to figure that out if we do not know how to tie in with verses of scriptures. Then people have been saying that the false prophet refers to the Antichrist. Now it is not the Antichrist. And we understand that God works first, the devil works through what we call ism. We call work through a system. And if you can hold a system, the whole system became his tools. Alright? And this tool, what we call an ism then, and like a Catholicism, it's a tool of the devil. What even now we have today, Protestantism has fallen and became a tool in the hand of the devil. And that's what Bob Ham said, when people go to church every Sunday, they don't realize that even Satan is being worshipped in the churches. You see? So what then is the false prophet here? From our understanding of scripture, then we realize that this false prophet is still linked to what you read in Revelation chapter 13. Alright. What is in Revelation chapter 13? There are two that we see that. The first beast, which is none other than the seven-headed beast, which we know is Romanism, which we see that is going to revive, or is on the stage of being, you know, revived. Okay, what we see now in the, what we call European Union. And European Union, you must understand, is communistic. Like it or not, it's communistic in its structure. Because then when you, well, you know the thing about the word communism, it means a commune. Is that right? A community, that's where the word comes from. Communistic means to say that they have things in common. Right? And that's why people think that, you know, like the American minister who came to Singapore asked me, what kind of system your government have here? I said, well, we are a republic. Because he wanted to know why, how come Singapore works and America doesn't work. You know what I mean? You see? So you want to know, so he said, we are a republic. He said, we are also a republic. I said, we are also democratic. We are also democratic. And he said, what else? I said, it's something that you don't have. We have socialism. Oh, but socialism is communism. You understand? So in a sense, you can see the Soviet Union is socialist. Is it right? It's a word also means community, communism. But not communism in the sense that it's anti-God in every sense of the word. You understand that? Okay? Unless we say that China, Russia is actually anti-God or anti-God. You see? But when you look at European Union, it's actually a community of nations coming together. You understand? United States of America, how they united themselves, they have something in common called United States. They want to use the word United States. But they are not anti-God, but they are united because they have something all in common throughout all the states. If you know the history of America, how the North fought against the South, all because of the slavery issue as well. Until Abraham Lincoln came along and put a stop to that. You see. So when we look at this, then the first beast is what we see is that Romanism spirit that we see in the making right now that is going to revive. Now, when we see here the false prophet, we think of the second beast. Why is it the second beast? It's very obvious because the second beast is none other than Americanism. You know, right? America was a newfound empire that John saw coming out of the earth with two horns like a lamb. And America became a nation. And you know that America was or is built upon the Bible to begin with. There were pilgrims from Europe running away from all that popery and that Anglicanism, you know. Run away from that. They came over that, they built it, and said, in God we trust. They have the liberty power and all that. And the church started, but somehow the church was informed by, later on with the influx of Jesuit priests coming into America as well. The Catholic came later on as well, so he fit into the system of the churches, and the church somehow, God said, let us go gather together and have a unity. And so that's why they started the National Council of Churches. And later on, as I said, became the World Council of Churches outside of America. You know? And so they were the one that built an image to the first beast. You understand that? The churches. When we say the churches, well, in a sense, is it the general. This is the church. But there is always in the churches, you have the head, you have the pastors, you have you know, the teacher, the Bible scholars, and all this. You understand that? They are the ones say, let's build an image. And they build an image. And what happened now? The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 13, the second beast, it built an image, the first beast, and tell the whole world to worship that image. Is that right? So what happened to that voice of Protestantism? It became a false voice. Do you understand that? Any church that is built upon the Word of God turned around and preached false prophecy, false word, you became a false prophet. The church became false. Do you understand? So, Protestantism is actually fallen. Actually, it did. For years already. Brother Branham, before, you know, when he preached on indictment, he said, I no longer pray for America, it's fallen. Huh? Nothing left but judgment for America. Because they have crucified the Word of God a second time. You see. And it's true. So what is that for the dragon? That's not a dead, that spirit, Satan, who became the opposite of God. He is the main one that uses the beast because he has all the fallen angels with him. Then use that Americanism, the church, not the nation as a political nation itself. It cannot be the false voice. It's the church. You see, and that's why America today has let down the bar. Not because of the politician, it is the church influence. You see, they have let down the bar, and so the whole nation is gone. Remember, they were built upon the foundation of the Bible to begin with. Alright, so now you understand. So that's why I said that they are the unholy trinity. And we can say the Holy Trinity, we say we have God, the Almighty God, the Church, and the fivefold ministry. Right? God is the Spirit. He works through His Church to the fivefold ministry, using the fivefold ministry. Then we have, in this unholy Trinity, we have the dragon, the Satan, and the beast, the system out there that he is reviving. Okay? And then through the false prophet, which is the Protestantism that's fallen in America. So America, Protestantism is gone. It becomes the false prophet. Alright, so this unclean flock means to say unclean spirit. They are filthy, they are dirty, nothing good about this flock. Alright, the spirit that come out and how the Satan will work through the system, through the false prophet. Okay, so now we are going to, as we go on, I want to mention something right here in the fifth vows here. Okay, in verse the fifth vows in Revelation chapter 17 verse 16. Now we are not dealing with Revelation chapter 17, but we will deal with it next week. And Revelation chapter 17 is one of the hardest chapter to actually detail. Because a lot of people are lost up in that. But there is always a way of understanding. Now, I am not a very controversial preacher because the way that many people interpret the scripture is totally off because they are not consistent. And I always believe that the Bible is consistent. Like I say, if God said the sons of God are sons of God, it cannot be angels. You cannot change that. You understand that? That's a real fact. You see? So when we deal with the beast, the head, it represents something, you cannot change it something else later. You can't change that. Because God doesn't suddenly confuse people by changing the head, represent this, the next moment, represent something else. It doesn't. Okay? And today I know because some minister in the Philippines, the way they were trying to ask me, you know, and I could see that they are really lost in that chapter. Okay, but we will deal with it next week when you come over to it. Now, when we read over in this Revelation 7:16, the ten horn which thou saw upon the feast, thee shall hit the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. We know that when this trumpet is poured out, where, you know, God destroyed the seat of the beast, which is Vatican City. Okay? This beast, the Roman beast, will destroy Catholicism. That is to say, communism will destroy Catholicism. And that's how Brother Ben put it that way. You know? And so, which is going to be. But I want to see right now that when this is done, the king of the east will march over to Israel. Now, when we talk about the king of the east, it refers to the kingdom east of Israel, obviously. Because remember we deal with the river Euphrates being dried up. It's a symbol that that the way for the water of Armageddon, the battle of Armageddon, once that river Euphrates dried up, it symbolizes that the war is imminent. Okay, now when we talk about the king of the east, what do you think about the east? Most of the eastern country over this side of Israel, you have, well, even Russia, which is in the north, yet still eastward, still part of Russia, huh? And they are communistic. And then we look at Vietnam. One time they were communistic, even today they are communistic. Right? Laos, even Cambodia, they are trying to open up, but they are still controlling the people. Okay? We have China, communistic. Is that right? So, these are the king of the east. But not only just communistic nation, but you have India. I mean, which is a big force as well. I think the biggest country in the world is China and India. I think it's the second. Huh? Then we have Pakistan. Pakistan is also a nation to reckon with. You know? Right? Japan, not so, because Japan has given up its military power of sort after the Second World War. You know. But Vietnam, they're still building up their, you know, military strength. What about Russia? They do too. And China, in fact, is actually, you know, building up their military might. And what do you think they are doing? They're going to fulfill the Bible prophecy. So, this king of the East is going to come over. Now, there are three types of communism. When we talk about communism, the first and the most powerful one, of course, we know is Russia. Right? And it still is. Don't think that the Russia is now kind of a, the economy is down and all that thing. But I have read in, you know, some years back, the soldiers are being trained like as if they are preparing for war. You know, news showed the soldiers were training out there in the snow, in the cold, without a shirt on. And they were lying on the snow, and then the soldier, one of them, will get up and run, stepping on the tummy of the soldier, just run everyone all the way down, and the next one get up and do. You know, they're toughening themselves. You wonder what for? Mind you also that these soldiers, they are not paid like soldiers here are paid, or America are paid. You know what they have at the end of the month when they are paid? They get nothing. What they have, they are given cabbage head. I was told, I think one or two, if I remember, that's all that they have. They have big cabbage head. That's all they have. You see? And they are preparing as if they are going for war. So if you look at, if any nation, if America, for example, any nation, if the soldier is not on their feet and not have regular training, a soldier that's well trained and tough enough can easily come down and swallow them. You know, and so you wonder why Russia is doing that, because it shouldn't count. Now we know that in this Russia, we read in the book of Ezekiel 38:39. Now we know that this part of Ezekiel 38:39 are kind of confused when people read Ezekiel 38:39. They think that it's the battle of Gog and Magog, because the word Gog and Magog is mentioned, and they think that it's in the book of Revelation. At the end of the book of Revelation, where we talk about Gog and Magog, which is to say that this war, they think that this war of Ezekiel 38:39 is the same as the one in Revelation that will be fought after the millennium. Okay? Alright.
Okay.
Now, but it is not. It has to be fought over this side before the 70th week of Daniel starts. And we are going to expect to see that. You know? For obvious reason that the Bible shows us something in that chapter which we already studied. Now, Russia is the only nation that dared to openly, overtly tell the whole world there is no God. Literally when the astronaut went up to space, you remember? I don't see your God. But you know when America sent up the astronaut, when they went up there the first time, I think it was Armstrong, I'm not sure. He took the Bible and he read it. Who's that? Edwin or somebody. I don't know. One of those astronauts. He opened the Bible and read it. But this Russian man, they went up there and says, I don't see your God. He found God in heaven. Do you understand? And so, God is going to make His name known. He's going to sanctify His name. By, in Ezekiel 38, 39, by dragging this Russian from the north down to Israel to fight. And He's going to wipe up all that army, the nation, with a great earthquake. You destroy the might of the army, you are gone. You are finished. You see. And so, Russia will be destroyed in this battle of Ezekiel 38, 39. Right? And right about that time, well, there'll be a great earthquake, California most likely will sink. At about that time, at the Battle of Israel 38, 39. Just before or in or during. And that means to say America is handicapped because of the disaster. And so, the two powers will be gone. America and Russia will be gone. Left only two major power left. The European beast and the king of the east. Which you see in the Bible mentioned about the war they are fought in the Battle of Armageddon. So, Russia will be the first power. The Russian communism will be the first to be destroyed. Okay? Now, the next type of communism is the European Union. Alright? But this is a communism, a union that does not really work because the dentals, fiber of clay, fiber of iron, they don't really mix well. You know? And so they will have their problem, but in any way, the European Union will gain strength when the Pope comes along the scene, make peace, because after the destruction after the battle of Ezekiel 38, 39, you will make peace. And because Vatican City is in the midst of the whole of the European nations. And they know that the Vatican, so the Pope, has great power, has great influence in the world. Right? So they will definitely use this Vatican. And so she'll be the one, the Roman Catholic Church will be the one that write on the beast. And that's what we see in Revelation chapter 17. But you don't see it in chapter 13. Right? Neither on 16 or 15 or 14. But you see her writing it on chapter 17, and that's what confuses people. But we're going to deal with that. You understand? And so European Union will make use of the Catholic Church for their benefit. Why? Because they see in her the power. And at that point in time, in Revelation chapter 7 later on, we see that it is the Pope that crowned this ten horns. So this now became superpower. You know? Because the Pope has so much influence, you know what I'm talking about? If the Pope today were to tell the people, all the Catholics to take up arms and fight, they will. Because he's the Pope. He's the Papa. There's no way. You know? It's just like, you know, in any kind of spirits. With a leader, people look up to, they say anything, they will do it. And don't forget that those unclean spirits, you know, they came out the three frogs, or the mouth of the dragon, or the beast, and all the false prophet, they are going to stir up this nation. Mind you. You understand that? But European Union will destroy Vatican later on when we realize that, well, you know, she has lost her power because God already, you know, brought the whole of the Vatican seat into darkness. So they will destroy Vatican. Alright, then we have the third kind, which is Far East communism. The communism in the Far East. Like China, like Vietnam, we're all well acquainted with that, don't we? Or we call it Oriental. The Oriental communism. They are the most powerful, second most powerful after Russia, we will say. They'll be the one that marched over to Israel to fight in this great battle. But God will destroy all. Now when they fought over there in the Middle East, when Christ comes, they will all gang together to fight. Alright, so against Christ, they will fight against Christ. But let us go on in verse 15. Alright. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watch and keep his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Okay. How many of you have heard about a teaching, you know, we believe in what we call pre-tribulation rapture. We believe that there is, not all Christians will go up in the rapture, obviously. But we believe that before the tribulation, the rapture will take place for those who are made ready. Now there are people who believe that the rapture will come in the middle of the 70th week. Okay, let us look this up. So I just point it so that you will stay in your mind. We believe that the rapture will take place here before the 70th week of Daniel starts. Right? Then there are those that believe that the rapture will take place in the middle. In the middle here. Before the Great Tribulation starts. That is called the mid-tribulation rapture. We call that. Then the other one is called the post-tribulation rapture, which will take place only after the tribulation is over. It will rapture here. But let me show you, this verse itself will tell you which of these doctrine is correct. What you say here? Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watch and keep his garment, lest he walk naked and see his shame. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watch. Now, I come as a thief. I mean, if the rapture is going to come in the middle of the 70th day of Daniel, then we will know that after 1260 days, right? Turn out here, God must come here. Must come, right? Because it's fixed, we know. Is that right? All he said there is the supposed rapture, where we realize that, oh, after the great tribulation of 1260 days, Christ must come. It's an obvious fact. If you say it's post, right, but it is pre-tribulation, we do not know when. Is it not true? Huh? And we only know the season and the time. That's what the Bible says. Behold, I come as a thief. Means you're not going to know. Christ is going to come as a thief. That's why he asked you to watch. Now you tell the world that the world doesn't not believe in this. When Christ comes, he'll be a thief to them. He come and take the brand new skulls. Now, you want to see how that you look at the scripture and to see, things must make sense. Yes? Obvious, isn't it? Okay. Now, this warning is given to all those who love the Lord. But even though we know that all Christians don't, you know, all Christians who are not watchful, who are not made ready, must go through this period of the 17th year of Daniel. And if they go through the 17th year of Daniel, then the great one in the great tribulation, they have to give their life. Okay? Now this is the warning that the Bible is telling, the angel, in the revelation that Jesus has given to John, so that we may be informed. Alright. Verse 16. And he gathered them together into a place in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Now, first of all, what is this spirit that is able to gather people or gather the nation to fight in the war of Armageddon? We read earlier that this spirit that came out from the mouth of the dragon, the beast, the false prophet. What did they do? The Bible tells us they do great signs and wonders. Let us read carefully over in the verse in Revelation 16 again. Yes, verse 40. And there are the spirits of devil working miracles that go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. I mean, they're not doing miracles of healing. Obviously. Right? Or signs of wonder they can see with eye. But doing miracles in the sense that since that the nation has already, after the tribulation is over, after this 3.5 years is over, Christ is going to come. And God blow his, and the angel blow the last trumpet, and each of these seven bowls are poured out, one after another, for the next 30 days. You understand? Huh? To cut short the period of the tribulation. So when this one is poured out, you already see that there's so much judgment in the world, and nations are already having problems. But the Spirit is able to go and stir up the leaders of the world, the leaders of these nations of the world, to go and fight in Israel. Now you wonder what draws the people, what draws the nations of the world to Israel? Huh? It's very simple, from the beginning of creation, that place is a disaster. It seems, you know what I mean? And that place itself is the Garden of Eden. Huh? Not just Eden in itself, is the garden. More beautiful than Eden itself. A place where God put Adam and Eve fellowship with him every evening. A place supposed to be peace, Jerusalem. City of peace. City of war. Since the beginning of time. What draws? What is it that draws people there? Anyone Christian say, I want to go to Israel. Right? You want to go and, have a pilgrimage to Israel and just want to go where Jesus walked and walk where Jesus walked, and then to go into the water, get baptized again in the River Jordan, what a lot of Christians are doing. You see. Right? Visit Bethlehem where Golgotha Hill. Mount Carmel, and say, oh my, this Mount Carmel, that's where Elijah called for fire and all this. Your influence. But what draws the nations of this world? What draws China to there? What draws India, Pakistan, Russia, all to that place? You wonder, huh? But God has given the devil the keys to do whatever he must do, and he will have to carry it out. You believe that? Sometimes you wonder, if God created the devil to do a dirty job. Huh? Right? You ever wonder? Ever wonder why God picked you and not somebody else?
about it, huh?
You see. It's not like if you don't know the Bible, you find it. Like when I was young in the denomination, the pastor said, when someone asked, when I was young, all this leadership thing, you know, these people who are involved, the elders, the leader of the church, so to speak, young man, that, you know, so I was there, so the deacon were there, the elders were there, they were asking questions. Someone asking, pastor, you know, does God know everything? Yes, God knows everything, the pastor said. All right. And does God know who will be saved or who will not be saved? Yeah, God knows. You know? So, I mean, say God knows who will be saved, who will not be saved. Then why do we bother to go and preach the gospel and, you know? And he said, oh, in this case, God chose not to know. Wow. God chose not to know. God chose not to know. Can God choose not to know? It's a paradox, huh? He's all powerful, he chose not to know. That you don't know whether you are his chosen one. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, there are certain things that God don't choose not to know. He knows. Even your sin in the sea of forgiveness, he knows it's there, but he don't remember. He doesn't want to remember it. He casts it away. That's what God is. So when he chose you, he chose you. He doesn't change his mind. When he has put your name in the book of life, he doesn't, okay, I'm going to wrap it up. People read that in the Bible, huh? Remember? As if God erased your name out of the book of life. He doesn't actually. That's only an expression, you know, to show that those whom he knew who accepted the gospel and rejected in the first place. The name that's to say is there, but not that there is a real book. It's just an expression. One who came and accepted, and then, like Judas is correct. That's why Hebrews chapter 6, whole word about it. You taste of the heavenly gifts and everything, and then you turn around and you spoil it. And God said, and Paul said, there's no more repentance for sin anymore. You can never come back. Just as Judas is correct. Find no place for repentance. Do you see? Okay? So this spirit will go and kill them. Do all America, whatever they say, I don't know what they're going to do. Is it? But they will do that to gather every one of them to the place called Armageddon. What's Armageddon? Now this is a satellite view of Israel. Huh? This is the Dead Sea. Now you look at this, you should know. Even, oh my, you love Israel. No, you don't love Israel. Israel's map is very simple. There's always two big lakes of water. The Dead Sea, and what is this? In the north. The Sea of Galilee. Ah, my, you're all very blessed. That's the Sea of Galilee. And what is this river here? The flows and join this water. River what? River Jordan. My, oh my. River Jordan. Okay, and where on earth is Jerusalem? Jerusalem is very simple. You look at this salt lake here, like this Dead Sea, then take the top here, Jerusalem is somewhere here. Okay? And what is Mount Carmel? Mount Carmel, you see this place here, this little England here? Huh? That's Mount Carmel. That's where Megiddo is. Where is Lebanon? Lebanon is up here. Okay, that's the hill of Lebanon. All these are the hills of Lebanon. That's where you see all the cedar wood. Okay, right below here, this area, you see this yellow colored places, this is the valley, all these are valley. Okay? This brown, all these are the hills, the mountains. Right. Now, the hill over in this area here, that's Edom. Here, this part here is Moab. Okay, now this is the satellite view, and it's very interesting to see. Let's look at the map. Okay, now just to show you this. Armageddon, now this photograph is taken from the hill of Megiddo, looking across, and these are the other hills there. This is, you see how flat the plain is? far away, this area here, to the end. Now, so, when you talk about Armageddon, it is not just this place. But the Bible tells us that it is bigger than that. Let us look at the next map. Now, this is a map. Here is Megiddo. Okay? That's what the Bible talks about Megiddo. Armageddon. Although Megiddo is running from that place. Now, here is this river. This is the river of Megiddo. Okay? There is a plain. You see this colored gray here? That is the valley. This is lowland. You understand? Okay? That's Megiddo. That's Edom here. Now, when the Bible talks about the battle of Armageddon, Armageddon means the hill of slaughter. The hill of slaughter, or rendezvous. So God is bringing his people a time of rendezvous, meeting. Now, the battle covers three areas. Okay, we will look into it. Go to the book of Zechariah, chapter 12, verse 11. Here you find the word, the valley of Megiddo. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 11. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of how they mourned in the valley of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn every family apart, and so on and so forth. Okay. Now, there's another verse in the book of Judges I want you to look at. Chapter 5, verse 19. And this is another battle, but it shows that when you have a valley, you must have a river. You cannot have a valley without a river, because valley actually is created by rivers to begin with. Whether it's dried up or not, it's another thing. And how big it is, they don't dry up, is another thing, but there must be a river. So in Judges 5, verse 19, you read the word waters of Megiddo. So, you have the valley of Megiddo, you have the waters of Megiddo. What do you think these two words try to tell you? When the battle is fought in this place, in this river region here, and there is a valley, it shows you that something must flow. And the Bible tells us during the battle of Megiddo, there are many slaughters. Many will die. Blood will be shed and blood will literally flow. You know, in today's war, we see bombs and missiles and blow people apart. But in those days when they fought battles on ground, and you had thousands of soldiers start charging each other and killing each other, and when all you see is dead body, you see lots of blood all on the field. But let's say that if they were fighting over a valley where there's water, and the body is going to fall, their body is cut up and things like that, you see the water is mixed, blood is mixed in the water, and it's going to flow. So this gives us the image, when the Bible uses the valley of Megiddo, water of Megiddo, it's the place where they before. Now let us go to Isaiah 34, 1 to 6. Isaiah 34, 1 to 6. Come near, you nations, to hear and hearken, you people. Let the earth bear. Let the earth hear. And all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out. Their stings shall come out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood, and all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf fall off from the vine, as the falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bared in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. His big fat, his fatness, and with the blood of the lambs and goats and the fat of the kidneys of ram, for the Lord have a sacrifice in Bozrah and the great slaughter in the land of Edomia. Now that's where Edomia is Edom. This is the land of Edomia. Alright? And that's Edom. So now when you read this, the battle that's not only known as the Battle of Armageddon or the Great Slaughter, people think that's the place of Megiddo itself. Because the word, as I said, the word Armageddon means the hill of, or in the Greek word is Armageddon. Means hill of slaughter, it also means the city of slaughter, a rendezvous place. So, they will start the battle from here, and there are three valleys involved. The first valley is the valley of Megiddo. The second valley is this valley, the valley of Jezreel. And it comes all the way down, and here is the valley of Jehoshaphat, which is, Jerusalem is here. So there will be three valleys involved. So the battle will be fought from all the way north, all the way down, to as low as Edomia, which is the border here. So this you can see the valley. Very flat plains. And when Christ comes to judge, he will sit in Jerusalem, here, and the valley of Megiddo is, I mean, of Jehoshaphat is in front on the east of Jerusalem. And there the nation will gather there to be judged. Alright? So, now you have an understanding of how big the battlefield will be. Well, what is the length of it? From here to here. 200 miles. 200 miles, 322 kilometers. And this is the valley, huh? I mean, this is the valley. Of course, there are the hills, but this is also facing the sea, it's also a valley. So the war will not be fought all here, be fought all over here. So from here to this part of the hills, that's about 100 miles. 100 miles is 160 kilometers. 1 kilometer, 1 mile is 1.6 something kilometers. You know. So this is how big the battlefield will be. Alright? So you have an understanding. Now let us go to another place again to the Bible. Joel chapter 3, verse 2 to 7. 2 and 12. Joel. Joel chapter 3, verse 2. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, Israel whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Verse 12. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the nations round about. So the place where God is going to meet this nations of the world will be in this whole place. Not just this place. It will have to come out all the way. Mind you, in the war, of course, Lotin will be destroyed in the first place. But to keep the land from breaking up, I mean, if you start throwing nuclear bombs at each other, nothing exists. You must understand. Nothing will be left. You know. Alright, and then we have Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. And verse 1 and 2. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses ripened, and the woman ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the rest, such city of the people shall not be cut off from the sea. And then it goes right down. Let's continue. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against this nation, as he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the mountain of Olives shall clap in the midst thereof towards the east, and towards the west, and there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall move towards the north, and half of it towards the south. So that's what was going to happen. So just imagine, in the day of this battle of Armageddon, when Christ returned back, he will fight against all these other nations. And when his feet touches Mount Olivet, which is on the east of a little mountain here, on the east of Jerusalem, there will be such a great earthquake that will split a valley across into the Red Sea. And half of this mountain will move north and the other half will move south. So that there will be a great river, rift. So much so that the water, the fresh water or the sea water of this Red Sea will come in, bring along with it fishes. Now, mind you here, this is a dead sea. Nothing lives there. If the water is going to come in there from this ocean, with this salt water, with the fish coming in the water, the fish will die. But how did the water, the Bible says, they survive? How is it done? Because the earthquake will push much of this salt downward to the south. And then, in the city of Jerusalem, under the temple, there is actually a spring water. There's spring water. So the water of this sea will mix with the fresh water as it comes in, so that the water will not be salty. And then it will come into this space here. So all the salt will be pushed to one side. And so this area of the Dead Sea will be filled with fishes. Just think about it. Just think about it. Huh? Okay, now you go to Jerusalem, jump to the dead, jump to the sea, and say, I want to drown myself. You will not drown. Because there's so much salt that you will float. You know, if you're lighter maybe, then a chop, maybe you can walk on the Dead Sea. You know? Okay? Alright, that's how what is going to happen in the future. And we are looking forward to it. Let us go on. Verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Come, the seventh vial. Okay, let us look at it. It goes out against the chart again. The 17th, we have Daniel's chart. Now, here, and now we see this. First of all, you understand. That's the reason why when we look into the Bible, you look at the seven trumpets, there are seven. You look again, you see seven vials. Now, if you do not know how to place this, then you think that if you're reading consecutively, you think that event is going to happen like this, then you have a problem. Okay? So, when the Bible here said in verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of heaven. Of the temple of heaven, from throne saying, it is done. Now that's the seventh vial. That's the last bottle. The last bowl. I don't like the word vial or bottle. It doesn't sound right. It's a great pouring out. So it said, it is done. It's finished. But when the seventh trumpet was blown, let's see what the seventh trumpet says. Let's go to the Bible and see over in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. To 19. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord. See that? So, here the seventh trumpet, when it's blown, it is announcing that the kingdom of our Lord, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord. It is the herring, the day of the Lord where Christ will bring his kingdom on earth. Now, the day of the Lord starts when God poured out this vow to terminate or to cut short the great tribulation. Okay? Because he's coming to fight. Then he will set up his kingdom. And this is called the day of the Lord from here to when he sits and judges. The day of the Lord, you see, is 30 days plus the 45 days. This is the day of the Lord. When Christ comes, starts the day of the Lord to end the tribulation, to fight against all the nations of battle of Armageddon, alright? Then you will sit and judge the nation for 45 days. And then he will set up his kingdom of millennium for 1,000 years. So that is known as the day of the Lord. Huh? You get it? So the seventh trumpet, when it's blown, is heralding this whole thing. Then God poured out all this power one by one, because this is his day in dealing with the nations of the world. Alright? And if you look over in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, you have the same over here in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth and hair, and the moon became as blood. Now, that is the sixth seal. The sixth seal is here, you see. Remember, there were seven seals altogether. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seals. The fifth seal is this one here. Alright? When, you know, the foolish virgin and all will have to give their life. The sixth seal is right here because it's talking about the earthquake. When was the earthquake happen? When Christ come down and land his feet upon Mount Olive. And that's what happened. So you need to know where it is placed. If you're going to read it consecutively, you do not know. You are lost. God don't intend to, you know, put it plainly. As I said, this is for the wise and the prudent, and such that will learn. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. To give to who? To give it to his bride, to you, the church. And he asked John to give it. And John was the type of the bride. So he doesn't intend to write a, you know, well, you know, between two levels. If they don't want the man doesn't want the letter to arrive in the house and curious mother, you know, on the open arm, maybe curious brother or sister say, what's my sister up to, want to see what the boyfriend wrote, you know? But when he read, if she want to read it or the man want to read it, just give me the book. You know what I mean? Says, what is all this? There's a whole lot of courts inside there, you know. And many times, I don't know between my son and my daughter, I don't know whether they, when they communicate secretly and don't want the father and mother to know whether they have some kind of code or they speak, you know. Some children do that. You see, that's so. This is what it is, all of the secret code. And Christ give it to us. It's only for us to know and understand, but not for the world to. Okay? So you have the sixth seal, which is chapter 6 of Revelation. And then also the seventh trumpet. It's all pertaining to the same. Okay? Sixth seal, seventh trumpet, seventh bar. They're all pertaining to this same event. Alright? Okay. So now the end has come. Because it says, and the seventh angel put out his vows in the end. That's the end of it. No more. Because that is the end of it. The termination. The last. This is the final thing that happened. No more. No more wrath. This is fine. And that's why it says again, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, end is done. The end is finished. Or has come. All that which God has wanted to deal with the world, he put all those vows, the judgment, everything, it's over. Huh? Okay? Kingdom, the Antichrist power is all gone. Nobody could stand that. Let's look at the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26, second part to verse 27. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 to 27. See what here Paul said. As concerning what he prophesied concerning what the Lord said. Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. See, I will shake the heaven once more. Those things that will not be shaken will not be shaken. But those things that are made that will be shaken will be shaken. What is the thing that cannot be shaken? I hope it's your faith. It cannot be shaken. But in those days, those that go through tribulation, going through all that, it's see whether they will be shaken. They have to stand on the word. Verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake. That's what we are talking about, right? We shall read these two verses together. But I want to show you something in that, the Bible. When you read verse 17 and 18, now when you read verse 18, and then you find that it's something very odd here, because that is very bad. When King James translator, when they begin to mix chapter and verses, so that we can all find the place or the verse or the statement we are looking at. You understand? If the King James translator do not make paragraph or make chapters or verses, we will find it hard to look for it. Okay? But they are not perfect. So the verse here in verse 17 should read, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is finished." And there were voices and thunder and lightning. Who stop? Then verse 18 should start. And there was a great earthquake, such as was since, not since when man was upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. Because the voices and thunder and lightning is in heaven. It should continue verse 17. There was a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is finished!" And then there was a lot of activity in heaven. Remember, we read about voices and thunder and lightning that represent the activity and the excitement that is taking place in heaven. God is going to do something upon the earth. Do you understand? So when he said, "It is finished," then there was a great earthquake on the earth below. But in heaven, all those activities, as John saw in the vision. Alright, verse 19, "And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nation fell. And the great Babylon came into remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." The great city. What is the great city? Is it Babylon city, or is it Jerusalem? Some say it is Vatican City, the city of Babylon, the great. Some say it is Jerusalem. Really. And the great city was divided into three parts. And the city of the nation fell. And the great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give to her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. The great city was divided into three parts. It's the city of Jerusalem. It did not fall. But all the city of the nations of the world fell. This is the only city that will not fall. It's only divided into three parts. Huh? Alright, now let's look into this Revelation chapter 11 verse 18. See what the Bible calls this great city. It's called, it has three parts. This great city has three parts. It's divided into three parts. Right. Okay. Revelation 11, 18. Jerusalem is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Right? Are you getting it? Jerusalem today, it is true. Already it is a city. What is called Jerusalem? The city of peace. The holy city. The great city. Of Mount Zion. Jerusalem. But it is also called Sodom. It is also called Egypt. Jerusalem, Sodom, Egypt, the great city.
the Bible says it's called Sodom. Why is it called Sodom? Why is Jerusalem called Sodom? You know what the word Sodom means? It's filthy. That's what Sodom was. It's a city filled with homosexual, gay, lesbian, bestiary too. Terrible. And what did God saw? What did God? What is the great city also called Sodom? Because that's what Jerusalem is spiritually. It is Sodom. Because the truth of God has been sodomized by a filthy man of religious mind. What is the cohesion? What does Egypt represent? Slavery. You are a slave to your tradition. Huh? You see, when God built the holy city, New Jerusalem, hey, that's not supposed to be. There should not be any sodomy spirit. There should not be any Egyptian spirit for you whole people, putting fear on them, you know? You understand? It's supposed to be a city of peace with the fell. It's a city of war. Even the holy city in the Jerusalem, God is thinking it's going to make a city of peace. But you see, the churches today are fighting each other. Right? Oh, that city is going to break up into three pieces. But it will not fall. It's just an expression. But all the city of the world, because of great earthquake, you know, God is going to shake the whole earth. Goodness, I don't know what's going to happen. Why, even if it's in a cartoon republic and draw the earth shaking, but everything, you know, fuming, something like that. It's going to be a whole lot of activity. Let's go on and read it. And so he says that Great Babylon came in remembrance before God. Huh? Why? It is not, you know, it's not that God is going to judge Babylon in the future. But let us look at this chart again, and just to let you know the expression of it. You see, and Babylon came in remembrance of God, is to say that all these activities right here, alright? When he said it is finished, in retrospective, huh? To make that all these events that happened under the seventh trumpet, okay, is God's remembrance of Babylon to destroy them. Do you understand? Alright? Revelation verse 20-21. And every island fled away, and the mountain were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blessing God because of the plague of the hail, for the hail thereof was exceeding great. Earlier when we read in the book of Zechariah, we talk about how God is going to do something upon the earth. It's exactly what he described here. Look at a hailstone, one talent. One talent! 27 kilos. You know today the biggest hailstone? You know how big that is? The biggest hailstone ever found. Ever fallen here. You know how big that is? It's 1 pound. 1 pound. And 27 kilo or 28 kilo is about 60 pounds. How many times have you? My goodness, 60 times. You know, I saw a hailstone, you know, the picture is 1 pound, the biggest. I did a search last night, just wanted to know how big is the biggest. You know, because the Bible here says, and now it's told about the weight of a talent, 37 kilos. So that's about 60 times the 1 pound hailstone is about this big. 60 times. Wow. I can't imagine. If it hit you on the head, you're flat on the ground. You'll be buried. You just imagine the destruction when the hailstorm comes. Building will be destroyed. The sea will fall. God's indignation, your wrath is come. He's just going to pour this final thing all out on this earth. The whole heaven shook. So much so what the Bible says? The island fled away. Oh, the island disappeared. And the mountain was not far. What happened to the mountain? The mountain came down. God is reshaping the whole earth again. Do you know, you heard about the story of Krakatoa? How many of you remember about Krakatoa?
You read about it. If you don't, go to the internet and search for it. Years ago when I was a kid, I heard about it. So I thought, wow, I read about it. In 1883, sometime in that, 1883, May or March, somewhere around there, the island of Krakatoa in Indonesia blew up. People died, you know how many people on land, and completely disappeared. It takes only, I think, about how many years, months or years later, then another island came up. And they call it Anak Krakatoa, the son of Krakatoa. Think about it, huh? So when God's promise comes, I tell you, when God gets angry, you better don't want to face it. Huh? You see. Mountain disappeared. Mountain came down. Wow. The whole surface of earth is going to be changed again. Sure. Wipe out all the city, everything will come down. Alright. And people will blaspheme God and curse God because of the plague of hell. Was great. But, you know, look at the sixth seal. Sixth seal, over in the book of Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 to 17. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 to 17. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as a circle of the head. The moon became as blood. Why did the moon become blood? Why does the moon become as blood? It's all about the phenomena, the air, the pollution. So, you ever see a sun that is really bloody? The first time when I saw it, when I was in Kenya. I was in a hotel. It was evening time when I came. Oh my, I've never seen a sun that's bloody red in the horizon. Sun, not moon, sun. That was, even today, even this few days, I've seen the sun very orange. That one was red, I can tell you, our kind of sun. I said, keep on looking at it. You know, because of the pollution, I did this kind of look. And that's what is going to happen. Now, if the sun is going to be black as sackcloth of the hair, I don't know what kind of pollution that affected this. The time when Mao Pino Tonga blow is stopped. You remember Mao Pino Tonga? All the ashes and all that. And look at the sky, can you see anything? You couldn't see a thing. Huh? So I would not know how the phenomenon will be that causes the sun to look black, blackish. And the moon turning to bloody red, I understand. But that is to say there's a phenomenon you've never seen before. And you can see it. Many times there are a lot of strange happening in the world today. This weather, huh? You probably have seen it, the report here and there. People post on the internet, on the YouTube. Huh? And the world suddenly is changing. And this one, when it comes, I think there are a lot of people who be taking snapshot and then in the millennium put it on the YouTube. Alright, he says it then, the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts an untimely fig, when she is drunken or shaken of a mighty wind. And heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island will move out of their places. That's what we read earlier in another verse. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captain, and the mighty men, and every born man, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain, and said to the mountain and rocks, fall upon us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of the Lord is come. And who shall be able to stand? Oh, we haven't come to that later. When they want to seek death will flee away from them. They will not find. Judas still tried to find repentance. A place for repentance he couldn't find. You know, they flee away from him. They fled from him. So, this is what's going to happen. Do you understand? So you see how the earth is changing? Huh? The whole world, not just in the Middle East or in Europe. Wow. Let us read Romans 8:21. Romans 8:21-22. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This is what is going to happen. So when the children of God sits in the millennium with Christ, there will be no more tribulation. For we know that the whole creation groan and tribble in pain together until then. Yes, God is going to shake the whole of this heaven. I mean, when you say heaven, I'm not talking about outer space. I'm talking about this heaven of where we breathe and the birds fly and this earth. Because this is the domain of Satan. And God is going to destroy it and rebuild it. Alright, when the Bible calls it the prince of the power of the air, right? Remember? He's going to destroy that, as you know. Alright, and Matthew 24, verse 9. Matthew 24, verse 9. Hear what Jesus talked about during time. And he said, chapter 24, verse 29. Chapter 24, verse 29. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. There will be a lot of activities. The star will fall from heaven doesn't mean that literal star from heaven. You're talking about meteoric action, comet. Huh? Remember recently there was one meteor that flew over there. Nobody suspected that it just come soon. See a lot of damage, huh? What do we have? Our meteor coming down, comet passing by. You know, what kind of phenomena will we have? And God's shaking this whole earth. I can tell you, everybody will be rolling and rolling like a drunken man because it's unstable. Just wondering where God is going to put back the earth, back, you know, up there will be in the future. But God is undergoing a change. He's furious. This is what He's going to do. And we are. This is a lot of vivid places in the Bible that tells us all these things. And these are the signs, okay, as Matthew tells us. This will be the sign when Christ is coming by. Yeah? Coming by. Alright. Now we go to Revelation 11, 50. This seven. All together, seven vows that we have looked at. Okay, it goes back to why we see, of course, the blowing of the seven trumpet, you know. Here we have Revelation 11, 15 and 19. And the seven angels sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the king of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever, and the 24 elders be set before God on their seats, put upon their faces and worship God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee great power, and hast reigned, and the nations were angry, and your wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and thou should give reward unto thy servants the prophet, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his ark, in his temple, the ark of the testament. And there was lightning and thundering and an earthquake and a great hail. Remember when we read earlier on, when God began to pour his wrath, before he poured out the seven vow, John saw that the temple in the heaven was open and there was nothing but smoke. Right? Nobody can go in. But now everything is finished. What do we see? The Bible says here, the temple was open in heaven and was seen in his ark. The testimony, the ark of his testimony. Right. You know, God is so great, so wonderful, to be able to give us this revelation that he gave to his son. Or we would say rather that God gave to his son what he wanted to accomplish on this earth. And because he loved his own begotten son,
And because Jesus loves us, that's why he gives this revelation to us. So that we can see what's coming. Right? You know, when you don't see what's coming,
well, let's see. Well, I remember when I was in the hospital, working as a nurse in the mental hospital. And it was a new ward that I went to work with him. There was this patient, was a big Malay fellow, young man, actually is in his, I think, 20s, big size. So I didn't know all the patients yet. So I was standing on the door looking out, and he was standing beside me. He was talking to me and looking out. And suddenly, wham, I got hit by him. One big punch. For a moment, I see stars. Now, tell him, I said, what would you do there? Hantu. In every way, to him, is devil. Then I realized that this guy, when he stand with anybody, he suddenly had this kind of, spell that he just punched people. So I don't know, I didn't know what's coming. You know, how, if I know that, how he behaved, I would be very watchful when he stand near me, you know. And that's what the thing about, the world, if the world does not know what's coming, they would know. Until the time. But God has given us all this about the coming of the great day of the Lord when His wrath is going to boil over because He's so angry and so upset because of sins of the world. And He's going to pour all His wrath upon this earth. But when we, every one of us who believe in Christ, find His favor, take note of it, be watchful and prayerful, remember, because He comes like a thief in the night. But to us, we know He's coming. And we will be watching. As the Bible, Jesus said, if we know that the thief is going to come, would you not watch? Sure. And so let us be watchful and prayerful as the Bible, as Christ tells us to offer in our prayer and also supplication unto Him. May the Lord bless you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word once again, Father. Great is thy faithfulness. We commit the rest of the day to you, Father. Just keep our mind upon Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior and our Lord. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.